Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel. We'll wait.
Okay. Business. Church business.
It better be. Or I move when lightning's coming. It was a kind of interesting week because what God was doing in here this morning, we've been talking with pastors about up in northern Minnesota, about the kingdom of God and about breakthrough. God desires, and you know this, and whether or not you're prepared to hear it or not again, God is not interested in you being in bondage. God is interested in you living a life of freedom, in breakthrough, and growing in his kingdom. We all know about David. But the most thing that people remember about David, there's two things, the Goliath and his failure. That's what people think when they think of David. Yeah, he killed Goliath and then he failed. We fail to understand that he was a man after God's own heart. And we fail to understand that David went through so many things and he was prepared for these things before he met Goliath. When David came to face Goliath, he had already killed the lion and the bear. Not the Detroit Lions, not the Chicago Bears, but he had killed the lion and the bear. He was equipped and he was experienced to fight the 8 or 9 foot being that taunted the armies of Israel. God had prepared him for that moment and destined him for the throne. It was so much in God's heart that David was going to be king. Jesse had 8 children, at least. 7 of them passed through the prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel 16, and none of them were acceptable. David was out tending the sheep, and Samuel said, "You have another son. Do you have another son?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Go get him." David was young. He was young looking. But as Samuel anointed him, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he was designed to be king. Now, I want you to think for a moment. How many of you have unfulfilled promises that God has spoken into your heart that you haven't seen yet? You see, one of the reasons I believe David was not afraid of Goliath because he wasn't king yet. He'd been anointed king. He was going to fulfill the call of God on his life. He had no fear of the giant because God had spoken to his life and he faced the giant. He wanted to get through the giant because he knew the kingship was ahead of him. I want you to think about that. What has God promised you? It's not fulfilled yet. And you know it was God. And you're worried about things happening. You don't have to. If you have a promise from God in your life, he's going to fulfill it because God is a man that he cannot lie. Not a man that he can lie. I want you to start thinking. Because if we leave here with nothing but the fact that God has promised me, God has told me, God has designed me for a certain purpose, I'm not leaving until it's done.
Amen.
Two of you got it. So one day, you might not even catch this. I didn't catch it till after I thought about it for a couple hours. One day, Jesse comes to David and says, I want you to take these cheeses, I want you to take this food, I want you to take this stuff to your brothers, and I want you to check out, see what's happening. They didn't have meals on wheels, but they had meals on a donkey. And so David loads all that stuff up, and he takes them to the battlefield. And when he gets there, he hears Goliath taunting the armies. I defy you to send somebody here to fight me. Whoever wins this battle, the other army will be their servants. Well, you knew something right off the bat. You knew that the Israelites, if they did fight, weren't going to win because they're all hiding. And the one that was supposed to fight the battle, King Saul, he was supposed to take on the giant. There was no way. He's big and he's ugly. And so David comes down and he says, well, what's the king going to give us whoever kills the giant? And his brother looks at him and says, you just come down here to make sport. You didn't come down here for any real purpose. You didn't come down here even to encourage us. At least Kirk would have went down there to encourage him. And David looks at him and he says, is there not a cause? That word cause is very interesting in the Hebrew. It means, aren't you going to let me talk? Isn't there a situation here that needs to be taken care of? Isn't there a reason for me being here? And then he says, go tell the king I'll fight the giant. I want you to think about something. What in your life is worth living for? And then when you answer that question, what in your life is worth dying for? What grips you? What is the reason behind what you do? What motivates you? And then we have to ask ourselves, is it godly things or is it earthly things? How many of you consider yourself a people person? Nobody. I figured that. You're not going to wave your hand about anything. I'm back and Kirk's not preaching and Angie's not up here, so you're just going to crawl back into your shell. How many of you live for people? How many of you live for adventure? Going on vacation with Judy, that's always an adventure. No, she has a different word. How many just love excitement? No, you don't. You're a Viking fan. And so we put our lives in different areas. But what is the main reason or the main cause? And of course, I want the answer to be Jesus Christ. Of course. That's what the answer I'm looking for. But David decided. He says, go tell Saul I'll fight the giant. Go tell Saul. How many of you ever tried to do something and public opinion was against you? Oh, somebody asked. And so, And please take time to read the chapter. There's a lot of stuff in here, but for some time's sake, I'm just kind of, and I'll show you some verses in a moment. King Saul said, no. You're just a youth. This man is a warrior. This man is this. This man is that. And so right off the get-go, David's plan was stymied. But Saul had a problem. There's nobody else to fight the giant. The armies weren't going to. And so he had to allow David to do it. Ordained by God, there's no doubt. But I was thinking, what have we allowed somebody's opinion, or how have we allowed somebody's opinion to stop us from doing what God told you to do? And we can make all kinds of reasons, but just like God chose David, God chose you to do something. Because sometimes we sit here, we think God don't know our name, he don't know our address, he don't know our phone number, he don't know where we are on Facebook, he don't know our email, he don't know our other kind of mail. God knows everything. And when he picked you to do something, he picked you because he had faith in you to do it. And you were going to grow through it. You're going to grow. God has never, and please remember this, God has never designed your defeat. Never. He has always designed that through him you'd be victorious, no matter what it looks like. You know, you may say, well, I did this, what God told me to do, and I didn't see any results, therefore I'm a failure. No, you're not a failure. You did what God asked you to do. God knows the results. We don't. Saul did something else that's very interesting. He then took all his armor and put it on David. Untested, David says. Kind of interesting. If you weren't going to fight the giant in that armor, would you want somebody else to fight the giant in that armor? Huh? I mean, if I'm standing there, I know he's king, and I say, you, your majesty, I don't think so. You didn't want to fight in this. Why should I? Don't fight the devil with unproven battle skills, schemes, devices. Be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Put on what? The whole armor of God, that you may stand against the schemes of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, dominion, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly place. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God. Who is the helmet of salvation? Who is the breastplate of righteousness? Who is truth? Who's the gospel? Who's the sword of the Spirit? Who's the shield of faith? That's how we fight. We stand in the name of Jesus. And our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. I want you to understand something. There's not any plan devised by the devil. There's not any stronghold in your life. There's not any kingdom coming against you that Jesus Christ cannot destroy through you. Amen. Through you. Sometimes we walk in discouragement because we don't see the answer to what the enemy is doing. And I want you to know something. The answer isn't far away. He lives within you as Christians. He's Jesus. And we need to stand. And we get messed up at times. But let me tell you something that I found so true in my life. You can't fight spiritual battles through carnal means or fleshly means. You can't do it. You can't come after Satan through your flesh, through your body, through your mind. You come after the giant through the name of Jesus. Now listen. David went and picked up 5 stones, took his sling. Tony, did Tate have any chance of missing that elk? Did you?
Did I? I didn't have a chance.
You know, the Bible says that there were at least 200 men in the kingdom that David was in that could hit a hare at many paces with the sling. I want you to think, if there's a sling on Bob, or hair on Bob's head, well, there's a couple. David could, these marksmen could take the sling and let that stone fly and take it off. The Bible tells us that. Now, don't ask me where. So David wasn't afraid of the marks, of being the marksman or missing. You know, people said, well, you know, what if he missed? David looked at him, I believe, and said, he's so big, how can I miss? You know, you hunters, if you got a deer standing by Bob from here, you're not worried too much about missing. If you're gun sighted in. If you're me, it's different. I take out the window. So David knew that this was not a big a challenge, and besides that, he has God's radar system to guide the stone. Because that stone had to hit perfect. One more thing, a couple more things, maybe 3. What the devil wants to do is intimidate you. He wants to back you in a corner, intimidate you, so that you do nothing but lay in fear, stand in fear. You don't want to get out of the bed in the morning. You don't want to see the doctor because you know the report's going to be bad. You know, all these things that Satan's telling you, it's just like Goliath roaring at David. He says, I'm going to take your flesh and I'm going to scatter it to the birds. I'm going to rip your head off and tear your arm off and beat you up with it. Don't get scared, Curtis. I'm going to do all this stuff to you. And David, knowing God, because he was anointed by Saul, by Samuel, this Holy Spirit came upon him, looked at the giant and said, you may come with me with a shield and a sword and a javelin, but I come after you in the name of the Lord, God Almighty, the Lord of hosts, and that means the Lord of the angel bands. I come after you in the name of the Lord, and I'm going to take your head. What head's speaking to you? What head do you need to shut up? What head keeps speaking the same words over and over and over and driving and driving and driving and condemning and beating up and bringing you down and questioning who you are and questioning where you're going and questioning if God loves you and questioning if you're ever going to make it. And talking you out of the kingdom victories that God has store for you. Happens. I don't believe it was on by chance that David's flung the stone. The stone hit Goliath. Goliath fell. David took the sword and cut his head off and held it up. Because when Jesus died and rose from the dead, he cut off the headship of the devil. He cut off the authority of Satan. He cut off any power that Satan would have over human beings who would stand against him and stand in the name of Jesus. He has no authority. We found that out a few weeks ago. If God has all authority, Satan has no authority.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us, give no place to the devil. Don't do his work for him. Don't speak his words. Don't tell his lies. Don't accept what he's telling you. His headship is gone. And you are free. But you know something? We walk around at times, and please, I want to encourage you. We walk around at times as we're hopeless. We look at circumstances, we look at results. And God is saying, rise up, church. Rise up. Rise up. There's breakthrough. This is the kingdom of God. It's not a natural kingdom. It's not a human kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom established on promises and built on the rock Christ Jesus and settled in heaven. It's not going to change. And we look around and we say, but I got to do something. I got to do something. I got to do something. Yeah, you do. You need to start saying in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they didn't love their lives to the death in Revelation chapter 12. They overcame him. And you are victorious. But the problem is, if you get beat up and beat up and beat up and beat up, you start acting like you're beat up. If you're a winning team, you go on that field expecting to win. We had an amazing football team and a hockey team my senior year. We never lost to anybody. And when you went on the field, you just expected to win. Because it was in here. You expect to win because it's in your heart. It's in Christ. And you're walking this out and you're living it. And you're encouraging people like you heard last week. And you're urging people on. Because you know that God is urging you on and encouraging you, and you give it away and you bless the people and you're walking looking for breakthrough in people's lives, and you have the power and the authority within you through Christ to bring that about. In all essence, fear, worry, and anxiety has no room in the kingdom of God, has no place, no place. And when they start creeping in on you, when you're facing situations that you know you can't handle in yourself, you already run the battle because you know you can't do it. But he can.
That's right.
He can. And you go through that in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Isaiah, way before the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you will be in dismay. Fear will rob you of where God wants to take you. But faith will bring the victory. Knowing God, knowing how He's led you in the past, know what He's doing in your life today, know what He will do tomorrow. Because God's already in tomorrow. He's in every tomorrow. And He'll lead you through the path. Now, some of you have come through some hard times. Some of you have been through some very difficult things. And so you're kind of gun shy. You're kind of protecting. You're kind of looking and saying, I'm just not going to get involved. I'm just going to back away. No. Jump in with Jesus this time. Jump in with Jesus. Don't allow the enemy to win an unsolicited battle because you stop. Jump in. Say, God, I'm coming. This time I may have done some things on my own. I may have made some mistakes. God says, okay. But it's not time to fold the tent. This time let me take your hand. And we'll walk through this together in victory. Because I win, He says. He wins every time. Yes. Every time. Amen. So forget the past. Forget the failures. Forget the things that's happened. Take the hand of God. Be led through it and walk it out in victory. Because there are still giants out there. There are still giants. But in the name of Jesus, they're all defeated. In the name of Jesus, every single one crashes. Amen?
Amen.
Stand with me. Raise your hands with me if you would, please. Hallelujah. Father, we speak victory in the lives of these people. We speak breakthrough. We speak peace and hope and joy, righteousness, and leadership of the Holy Spirit that always leads us in triumph. And Lord, no matter what they're facing and no matter what the enemy is saying to them, we believe you right now that you're in control, that you are leading us, and that you never fail. And you always win, and we're on your side. We're with you. And we are amazing winners in Jesus Christ. And we give you praise. Amen. Amen. Bless you.